Corinthians chapter number 12, and let's just begin at verse number 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. For you know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit of the word, the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. For as the body is one, hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body also, so also in Christ. Let's just stop right there. Amen. And tonight, I want to teach a final lesson upon the gifts of the Spirit and in defense of the gifts of the Spirit. And we want the Lord to help us here tonight. Let's just ask Him to do that. God, we need You here tonight. We are hungry for Your Word, hungry for Your presence, hungry for Your Spirit, asking You, sweet Holy Ghost, to minister and to move amongst us, that the power of Your Word would come forth. Let it be as water and wash our hearts. Let it be as the bread of life and feed our soul. Open our understanding and help us, God, bring enlightenment to us. And help us, O Lord Jesus, to get what You are trying to help us to understand. Lord Jesus, and that we would not just be hearers of the Word, but be doers of the Word. And that we would seek after You, that these may be an operation amongst us. And we give You the praise and the glory in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Why don't you clap your hands unto the Lord here today? Praise God. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated here tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank You, Jesus. Now, we have been talking about the gifts of the Spirit for many weeks, and it hasn't necessarily been completely consistent week after week after week. And that's just the way that we are. That's the way that we operate. We want God to be able to move. We want God to be able to do whatever He desires to do. And if He wants us to take a break from a certain place, we don't preach out of a lesson book somewhere. We don't get all of our sermons online, and they're already pre-planned and pre-done and such like that. We want to hear the mind of God. And so whatever God wants for the church, He knows where He's taken us, and we are following the inspiration, the unction, and the guiding of the Spirit. And we may be in a series at a time, and I just feel like the Lord said, okay, that's enough, and moves me to something else. Well, that's what we've got to do. Amen. We don't have a preconceived ideas. I don't have some of these lessons and stuff. I may have many lessons already built out, and then all of a sudden God said, no, three's enough. You don't need seven. And so they just sit in my box, never get done. So anyways, can you give me a water? I feel led to go back to this because, and I want to go back and just talk about this a little bit before we get into the main lesson here tonight. And that's one of the reasons we have just a couple of songs, because I expect to be long-winded on Wednesday nights. And but that's just the way that it is. And so we got to talking about this. And Paul said that he would not have us to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. Amen.
Amen. So he said, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant.
And so there are some things that we may not understand. And that's just what the word ignorant means. Ignorant and the word stupid are completely different words. Amen. And so Paul said that he would not that we would be ignorant of things. And ignorant just simply means that we have the capacity to know, but we just don't know. And so once we have the information, the facts about these things, then we do know. And then we are therefore no longer ignorant. And the word stupid just simply means that you don't have the capacity to learn these things. And so Paul said he would not have us to be ignorant concerning these things. And so in other words, he wants us to have the information that we need to be able to understand these things so that these things can be used in the church in the proper ways. And he said there may be some things that we can be ignorant of, and that's not necessarily what he is telling us, but that is can be inferred, and that he says, I would not have you be ignorant concerning these things. So there may be some things that we may not understand everything about, and that might be okay. Spiritual gifts is not one of those things. And when you look at Corinth, the town of Corinth was an extreme mess. The people that were in Corinth were messed up. Their ideologies, their philosophies, and obviously their theologies and such were a mess. And in reality, the church was a group of born-again sinners that had been out in the world. And so that mentality had been brought into the church. And the church was also a mess. I mean, anytime you have incest going on, you know that it's a mess. And that's reality. That is what was going on in Corinth. And so Paul has to address it. Paul has to deal with things. And Paul has to get pretty explicit, pretty hard concerning some things. And the fact that Paul said, I haven't even been there. I haven't seen this individual. I've only heard of what is going on. And I said that the individual needs to be put out of the church. Throw him out of the church for the destruction of the flesh that their soul might be saved. And so we understand that there was some rough stuff that was going on there. And then there were some things that was going on, and I have checked with different commentaries to look for to look for facts concerning this. I have talked to some of my theological friends that are well more advanced than I am, and so they have helped me out with a little bit with some things and stuff. And so, you know, up until this point of time, we really don't hear of the gifts of the Spirit being an operation in the church. And for Paul just to begin to talk about these things probably is simply just putting order to things that are already happening in the church. Otherwise, they would have no idea why Paul is writing, or would have no idea as to what Paul is referring to. But because more than likely there are things that are going on in the church that need order put to them, Paul is writing concerning these things. And so he says, concerning spiritual gifts, I would that you would not be ignorant. So what I'm simply saying is that they may have known, we don't know, they may have known that there were gifts of the Spirit. They may have not known that they were gifts of the Spirit, but may have known there was something that was happening. And so preacher gets to preach and they're like, oh wow, that's unique. And so Paul addresses that and says, that's a word of knowledge. Or something begins to happen, you know, it's like, wow, I wonder what that was. And Paul said, that's a word of wisdom. And so there were more than likely, there were things that was happening in the church that they was just like, ah, this is pretty cool, huh? Eh? Yeah. They were Canadians. No, they were Corinthians. And but here is Paul explaining to them some things to bring order to the church, and he gives us that rule later on in a couple of chapters later when he says, let everything be done decently and in order. Amen. And so it wasn't just one thing that was out of order. Wasn't just two things that may have been out of order, but we see in all of the nine gifts of the Spirit, chances are some of that may have been taken advantage of, obviously, when we read the remaining of the chapter, but there's probably other things, such as the incest and stuff that was going on, and so Paul is addressing all of these things, and he is saying, let everything be done decently and in order. not just one or two of the gifts, but not just nine of the gifts, but everything that happens within the church, let it be done decently and in order. All right? So let me just interject this right here. That you know, what we were doing tonight, we were working on some sound issues and some sound problems, and that's because I want to tone the sound down. I want the sound to come down. I don't want it to be so loud that we wake the neighbors up across the street. To some people, you know, that's pretty cool, but I don't necessarily want that to be, all right? So we're working on it. We're working on it. We got some other stuff that we're going to do and stuff, but the Bible teaches us to let everything be done decently and in order. And so that's what we want to do. We don't want to be offensive to people, to individuals, to visitors, to guests, and to saints of God or to anybody else that comes in. And there's times that I'm standing up here at the drums and I'm thinking to myself, to the drummer, you're absolutely killing me. And I walk away with a headache, and I walk to the pulpit, and I'm trying to collect my thoughts and stuff. But that's just part of getting in, playing under the unction and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You get to feeling good, and so you just want to play a little bit more and play a little bit louder and sing a little louder and stuff. And the whole church rises to that, and I understand that. But at the same time, we're going to do our best. There may be times that it gets a little bit, but we're going to do our best to make sure everything is done decently and in order. And this is what Paul is talking about throughout the church. But he's talking in with this, the point of view here is concerning the gifts of the Spirit. And so he's bringing order to the gifts of the Spirit. And not just bringing order to them, but he's telling him, this is what they are. And then he is telling him, and this is how it operates. And this is the parameter of it. This is what you can do. And this is what you can't do. And everything is open to criticism or to critique. Not necessarily to the saints of God, because he gives the authority to critique it to the ones in authority, to the ministry. And he even says that if there are a couple that get together, let's say that there's a minister or a couple of ministers that get together and they address something and they think, hey, this is what, then he says, let the one that sitteth, or in other words, in the seat of authority or the main one, he gets the final say so in everything. And so whether two may say, you know what, I feel like this is of God. And the one that's in the seat of authority, the one that's in charge and control of everything says, no, it wasn't. Well, then he is the guiding rule. And that's what the Bible teaches us there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. And we may or may not get to that. We'll just see. But what I am saying is that God established these things in the church so for the sole benefit of the church, that it may edify all. And so what God was putting into this church is that, hey, there are problems in the church. But if we let the church be the church, it'll take care of a lot of the issues. And if we let God be in control of the church, then some of the issues, some of the problems will take care of themselves. Spiritual needs will be edified. Spiritual needs will be fixed, will be helped through the gifts of the Spirit. And so we talked about these for numerous weeks. We talked about the gifts of prophecy, or the gift of speaking, the gift of power, and those things. And so we first talked about the word of knowledge, and we talked about the word of wisdom and the discerning of spirits. And we talked about different examples of them being used in the church. And the reason that we do this is because I want you to understand that this is a spiritual church. Amen. It's not spiritual just because that a church has tongues and interpretations, and we believe those. But there are more than two gifts of the Spirit. There are nine. And so we need to be able to recognize the nine in operation. And in recognizing the nine in operation, we understand being the gifts of the Spirit, this means that God is moving in our church. And so there are times that we have a word of knowledge and that we don't know what we are supposed to do. Or let me go back and say, we don't know what's going on. We have no idea. I just don't know what's going on. And it's not a prophecy, but at times the ministry will be preaching. Sometimes he will mention something like, I don't know why I'm saying this, but, and you know that we're getting ready to hear from God, whether it's a word of prophecy, whether it's a word of knowledge, or whether it's a word of wisdom. But when they say that, I don't know why I'm saying this, but then that ought to cause everybody to be at attention. Hey, you know what? We're getting ready to hear something here. And so it says, look, and he begins to expel and begins to expose and begins to put forth the knowledge. And so for some people be like, I have no idea what he just said. For others to be like, I have no clue why he just said that. But there's somebody there that's like, and you know, God just spoke to you. And you think, Now, you can refuse that. You can balk against that. You can harden your heart against that. Or you can accept that. Whoa, thank you, God. You know exactly where I am, and there's a word of knowledge. Sometimes we know what's going on, but we don't know what to do. And so again, the preacher's preaching, they get to saying something and whatever, and say, you know, I'm just telling somebody, you know, or they may say, you know, somebody here needs to hear this, and this is what you need to do. And somebody else, you know, or they may not say that. They just begin to preach, and a word of wisdom just kind of whoop, just slips right in there. And then all of a sudden, the individual says, I know exactly what to do now. All right? And sometimes it's for the entire church. Sometimes it's just for an individual. Sometimes it's for a family. We don't know. But it works. That's the way that it works. And it's the ministry not knowing exactly why they said it, but it is God, and that is why we don't necessarily go out of a book, because we want God to speak to us and to help us. Amen. And so we talked about the discerning of spirits and how that we need to be able to understand that we need to be sensitive to that we can feel. The Bible teaches us to try the spirits to see whether they are of God or not. And so that is important in our church. Amen. That we understand so that we're not hurt. We're not open and susceptible to things, but that God can help us and move through us so that we can recognize a spirit as it comes. Whether it would be a wolf in sheep's clothing, some type of pervert or whatever that's trying to, you know, get at our children or whatever. But God helps us to be able to discern these things, and we need these things. We let all things be done decently in order, so we're not of the fact that, you know, all of a sudden you know what Sister So-and-so is going through, and you've got a word of knowledge for her, and you're going to go tell her, or you got a word of wisdom for her, and you're going to go tell her exactly what she needs to know, or exactly what he needs to know and stuff. And the proper order to do that is to approach the pastor, to approach the ministry first, and to go through that channel. And then I'm going to tell you, you know what? You need to pray about that for a while, and let's talk about that in a week or two. Or I may say, you know what? You just need to forget that and just move on. Or I may say, you know what? I'll let them know. Or I may say, I think you need to go tell them that. But it is done. It is open to accountability. If you don't want to be accountable, you're probably in the wrong. All right? Look at Moses. Look at Moses. When he killed that Egyptian, what did he do? He looked around both ways to see who was looking. You know why? Because he was wrong. That's why. And if that's what you've got to do, if you've got to be quiet, if you've got to say, look, you don't need to tell anybody this, but you're probably wrong. All right? If it's not wrong, go through the proper channels and let it be. And so let's say that somebody comes and tells you, well, you know what? Somebody came and told me this, this, and this, and this. You are in order, number one, to say, have you talked to Pastor about this? Or number two, when it's all said and done, to come talk to me about this. Hey, did you know so-and-so, you know, was going to come talk to me? Yeah, I told him to. Okay, just wanted to make sure. All right? Because we don't need confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. But you're going to know immediately if it's confusion, if it is contrary and contrast to the pulpit. If it is against if it contradicts what the pulpit is preaching, saying, and doing, then you know that it's really not of God. All right? If there is a problem with the pulpit, then the first thing is to bring your concern to the pulpit. All right? And then we can address it and go from there. But what I'm saying is there is an order for everything. There's no reason to sow discord. There's no reason to sow confusion. And there's definitely no reason to sow division. Amen. Praise God. And so then we began to talk about the gifts of power. And we talked about faith and how that faith is different. There's different versions or different levels or concepts of faith. That there is the common faith. That we have. We've accepted the common faith. This is what we are doing here today. We are participating in the faith. We have not left the faith. It is kind of like the gospel, all right? And then there is the faith that we all have to have at all times, and that is the just shall live by faith. You're going to walk by faith. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you've got to have that type of faith, all right? And the reason being is because we cannot take these nine gifts of the Spirit and say, well, this one has that, and this one has that, but because that they have that, then they don't have to have that. We need to understand there are different diversities of the same Spirit. All right? So you've got to have faith. You can't say, well, you know what? I just don't have the gift of faith. You may not have the gift of faith, but you better have faith. Because without faith, Hebrews 11 and 6, it is impossible to please God. You've got to walk by faith. The Bible said you've got to live by faith. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to experience the gift of faith. It is a separate thing, all right? Such as, we'll just hold off on that, all right? So then we have the gift of healing. All right, we have the working of miracles, and we have the gifts of healing. And we talked about that. Healing is a process. Healing happens. We pray that God would heal us. And there are times that that's exactly what he does. And we don't need to mix that and say, well, you know what, I didn't get my miracle. You may not have gotten a miracle, but you may have gotten healing. Healing is a process. Healing takes place over a period of days, weeks, maybe a couple of months, a few months, but it is a progression that we continue to get better. So it is healing. Then there are miracles, and miracles are instantaneous. All right? Miracles. A dead person does not receive healing. A dead person either remains dead or receives a miracle. They come back to life. All right? But a deaf person can receive healing. And a deaf person can receive a miracle. Because if a deaf person receives a miracle, bam, they just all of a sudden they can hear. Wow, I can hear everything. But if they receive healing, then it's like, you know what? I can hear a little bit, and then it gets a little bit better, and then it gets a little bit better. And before, you know, however long that it takes, it's like it's reached that point. I received healing. So we understand, and we don't fault God in that, well, I'm praying for a miracle. Don't be upset if God gives you healing, all right? It just may take a little bit longer than you thought that it was going to, than you anticipated, than you hoped that it would take. Amen. But nevertheless, we need to keep the faith that God is going to do what he promised that he would do. Amen. Praise God. All right? And so then we get into the gifts of speaking. And so we had tongues and interpretation, and then we had the gifts of prophecy. All right? And so there are tongues and interpretation. Now again, just like we have the different levels of faith, that we are in the faith, we have not departed from the faith, and then we walk by faith, and we are live by faith, and then there is the now faith that we have at different times and stuff. That's the same way it is with tongues, all right? There is tongues as in the evidence of the Spirit. And the Bible teaches us that every time anybody ever received the Spirit of God within them, that they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. They knew they had the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues. Now here's the deal is, now, there's a lot of places that have axed this, that have erased this. They've tore it out of their Bible. They say that and the problem is twofold. Number one, they don't understand it. Number two, they got sin in their life. All right? You're not going to get the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. You're not going to get it with sin in your life. The Bible teaches us to repent. And when we repent of our sins and when we are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, he said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So that's going to happen. Amen. Now, there are some that won't persevere. They won't push. And because that they're not willing to live right, they're not willing to live godly, you say, well, I know some very, very godly people. And let me just tell you something. If they're not following the Bible from front to beginning in all things, then they're not being obedient to the Word of God. The Bible teaches us that when we are obedient to the Word of God, these things are going to happen. Amen. And so then there is the case that you know what, I'm not going to seek after that because that's a gift. And the Bible says, do all speak in tongues? No. Do all prophesy? No. And so I just don't have the gift of tongues. You may not have the gift of tongues, okay? But if you have the Holy Ghost, you will speak with tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Acts chapter number 2, verse number 4. Amen. Acts chapter number 10. All right. And all these other places, you're going to do that. And then we could go back and we could talk about that every time God made a promise, that he always gave a sign of that promise. He said, I'll never destroy the earth by water again. And the token of the promise was the rainbow. And we could follow that token of the promise theme all the way through the Old Testament. But when we get to the New Testament, Jesus told the people and his disciples, he said, go tarry ye in the upper room in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from upon high. Or he said, and tarry that waiting for the promise of the Father. So there's another promise. With the promise, you're going to have a token. There's going to be a token of the promise or a sign of the promise. And so in Acts chapter number 2, when the promise came from up above, and there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, it filled all of the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. There is the token, the sign of the promise. All right? So we're not going to get these things mixed up. We're not going to get the evidence of the Spirit and the gift of the Spirit mixed up. They are two completely different things. All right? Okay. So that's why somebody would say, well, not everybody's going to speak with tongues, because the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. Well, you know what? You're taking it out of context. Because the context of 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14 is the gifts of the Spirit, not the evidence of the Spirit. All right? And so, anyways, we talked all about those things and spent time. And those things are extremely needed. And I feel particular that they are needed in this day and time even so much the more. As we live in the last days of time, as we live in a messed up world that is reminiscent of what Corinth was back in those days, Paul let them know, hey, it's the gifts of the Spirit that's going to take you above all of this, through all this, and get you to where you need to be. Amen. And with everything that's going on in the local assemblies and in everything that calls themselves churches and religion and theology and stuff today, it is going to be the real thing that is going to get us through everything. And I know there's a bunch of, and I'll say this very, very carefully, but I know that there's a bunch of foolishness that goes on in churches and stuff like that. But this is why we need the discerning of spirits. Amen. We need the discerning of spirits. Amen. It's just foolishness for an individual classifying themselves as a prophet to look at you and say, I'm just telling you right now, God just told me your refrigerator stopped working. And then he goes on preaching. God just told me, don't worry, he's fixed your refrigerator. It's running right now. All right. That's just foolishness, okay? But that has happened. I use that example on purpose because that has happened in the past, all right? And that just does not need to be so. And when those things happen, it gives the real thing a bad name. And then people all abstain from that and pull back from that. And even the church, amen, begins to pull back from that. And everybody begins to question it. And so when it happens, we just sit there and just question. We don't have the faith to receive it. So all of these things have got to work in conjunction together underneath the auspices of the Holy Ghost, under the direction and the critique of the ministry that is in the church. And the Bible says very, very explicitly right there in chapter number 12, in verse number Verse number 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. Amen. So what I am saying is, if they don't preach truth, if they don't believe truth, if they don't practice truth, then everything is obsolete. You cannot do these things under the inspiration of the Spirit, but by the Spirit. Amen. Bible teaches us, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Depart from lawlessness. Amen. Praise God. And so this is the part. And so we're not afraid of this. We're not cutting this out. We're not getting rid of this because that some have misused it and abused it. We want God to be able to move however that He chooses to in our church. Praise God. Amen. I've been around too long, and I understand there, and I don't claim to be an expert on it. I don't claim to be the master of all of this. I am a student at the feet of God all the time. I'm learning this, and new experiences bring it in. And you know, there's one time I even called my pastor up, and I told him, I said, Brother Johnson, I said, you know, this, and stuff. And here he is at that point in time, he was in his 60s, and he said, you know, he said, brother, he said, let me tell it to you like this. You're in a different time than I was. And what you're talking to me, I never had to deal with. And so we all are learning. There is none of us that's going to come up and say, well, I have all knowledge. I have all understanding. I have everything that I need. Amen. And we are already getting into 1 Corinthians 13 right there. Amen. Praise God. But this is all part of that. Now the interesting thing about this, and this is where I don't know exactly where to go towards, and so I'm just going to just move through here as I feel led to. But the interesting part of all of this is 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 gives us the definition of everything. This is what that is, all right? And then it goes on and it begins to express some different things in the remaining part of chapter number 12. And then I'm going to skip past chapter number 13 and I'm going to go to chapter number 14. And in chapter number 14, you have the first part of that chapter talks about the gift of tongues. And he talks about doing things. Let me just go ahead and skip right on over there. All right. And so the first part of chapter number 14, and I'll skip verse number 1. We'll go down to verse number 13. And here he is talking about the gift of tongues. For 13 verses to this point, he has talked about the gift of tongues. And here, now, not the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Now, part of it is, let me take that back. Part of it, he is talking about the evidence of the Holy Ghost. In other parts, he's going to be talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and this is what you've got to be able to understand. That's why even Jesus said at one time, you've got to be able to discern whether I'm talking of myself. Let me just explain to you like this. Jesus said, you got to understand. You got to be able to discern whether I'm talking as a human or as I'm talking as of God. All right? Whether I'm talking as of Christ, the man, Christ Jesus, or I'm talking as God. All right, that's what you've got to be able to discern. Chapter number 14 of 1 Corinthians, amen. It's going to use some discernment here, and we're going to discern whether we're talking of the evidence of the Holy Ghost or the gift of the Spirit. And so I don't have time to go through all of this. I'm going to try to hurry through some things. But in verse number 13, he said, wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. All right. Now, he is talking of the gift of tongues. And so what he is saying is, here's now somebody that's coming up and they give an utterance in tongues and nobody understands it, and it doesn't profit anybody anything. And so somebody needs to pray, and the burden of responsibility is placed upon the one that gives forth the tongues. Let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. All right? So just because that you feel the inspiration of the Spirit to give forth tongues, amen, doesn't mean that, well, I did my part. You put your hands in your pocket and you sit back and say, well, let somebody else do the rest. No, the responsibility is put upon you. Now, there's another place in the Scriptures, in this same setting of Scriptures, that Paul admonishes the entire church. Let everyone pray. Amen. Gift of tongues comes. He said, we're going to be silent and let everyone pray that one may interpret. All right. So in reality, we all have some responsibility. Amen. But the one that gives forth tongues, he don't just check out. All right. He don't just check out and say, it's your baby now. No. The responsibility is upon us all. And Paul says, let him that does these things, let him pray that he may interpret. He said, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. All right. What is it then that I will pray with the spirit? I will pray with understanding also. I will sing with the spirit. I will sing with understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, and seeing he understand not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. All right. So Paul here is putting his apostleship authority upon these things. And he is saying, you know, there are times that we are going to pray in tongues. So there are the different diversities. There is the evidence of the Spirit. There is the gift of the Spirit. And then there is praying in tongues. All right. So we're praying and the Holy Ghost is moving. And so we begin to pray in tongues. That doesn't mean that we're going to have an interpreter for what we're praying, because that's not necessarily the gift of tongues in operation. And that's just as we pray, and the Spirit is making intercession in us and praying things in the Holy Ghost. And you get into the Spirit and you begin to pray in an unknown tongue, and the Spirit is making intercession in there. And sometimes it can even be with groanings that cannot be uttered. All right, so there's all of these here, and Paul addresses all of these here, and then he said, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. And so he goes on and he talks about in the church, I'd rather speak 5 words with understanding by my voice that I may teach others than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. But he does, listen here, he does not forbid to pray in tongues. All right? He said, I would rather speak 5 words in a known tongue so that I can teach others than to pray in 10,000 words in tongues. And so he is not saying you cannot pray 10,000 words in tongues, but he said there is a time that we need to pray with understanding. All right, you hear me today. Amen. I just feel the role of the pastor upon me here today. Amen. I'm telling you right now, it's not the will of God. It's not right, amen, for you to come in and to pray. And when you begin to pray, that's all that you do is just speak in tongues. You have no idea what's being said, and that does not necessarily profit you. Amen. There are times that we don't need to quench the Spirit. We don't need to quench the Spirit. We need to allow the Spirit to move in us, but we need to pray with understanding. There are some things that just need to be said, and part of what needs to be said is the washing of ourselves. God forgive me. God help me. God cleanse me. Amen. As we begin to wash ourselves and we give thanks unto God. Amen. So it has its place in there. Amen. Praise God. Now, on we go. He said, brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but not in understanding be men. And the law is written, with men of another tongue and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all of that, they would not hear me, saith the Lord. Verse number 22. I remember from back when I was in Sunday school, and I can remember so vividly, this was one of my memory verses back in Sunday school. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. All right, let's just stop right there. He said, tongues are for a sign. Now, this is not necessarily the gift of tongues. It can be the evidence of the Holy Ghost, and it can be the gift of tongues, but it is all inclusive. He said, tongues, in general, tongues are for a sign. Not to us that believe, but unto them that do not believe, or unto the unbeliever. But he said, prophesying serveth. Now, what's the difference? Prophesying, I understand. Tongues is no understanding. Prophesying is understanding. He said, prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, not for the unbeliever, but for them that do believe. All right? So when we hear prophecy come forth, it does not necessarily edify, help the unbeliever. It is for the believer. And then we can go on and we can get through the rest of that. And he is talking about interpretation in the second half. For first half of this chapter, he's talking about the gift of tongues and tongues in general. The second half of this chapter, he's talking about interpretation. And then he says there in verse number 26, he said, let all things be done unto edifying. Let all things be done unto edifying. That's what the gifts of the Spirit are for. They're not for destroying. They're not for all that. They are for edifying. Amen. Edifying the body. Amen. And then he said, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or by most by three, and that by course let one interpret. If there be no interpreter, here it is, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that setteth by, let him first hold his peace, for ye may all prophesy one by one, that you all may learn and be comforted, and the spirits of the prophet are subject to the prophet. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace in all churches of the saints. And so what God has done through the unction of the Holy Ghost, as God began to move upon Paul, because the Bible teaches us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable. And so Paul, writing under the inspiration of God, is letting us know the mind of God concerning and helping us to fix the issues that are in the church and to help strengthen the church. And he said, now, this is what it's going to be, and this is going to be how that it operates. Amen. Praise God. I just heard today that there are places in our ranks, amen, they got tongues and interpretation going forth, and it's, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 times in a service. That's not biblical. All right? It's not biblical. God gave us the parameters of it, and that's what we've got to stick within. Amen. Praise God. And so we follow the inspiration and the leading of the Spirit. And I'm just gonna be honest. I'm just gonna tell you who that I am right now. And so if we have tongues that comes forth, then we're gonna give place to that. And if God wants to speak, He'll speak. But I'll tell you what we're not going to do. And that's we're not. Now, if I feel the inspiration of the Spirit to do so, then that's what we're going to do. But I'll just say, we're not going to sit here for 5-10 minutes and just be quiet. And listen, I'm going to tell you why. Because then the pressure is put on somebody to step up and say, eh. And sometimes it does more harm than it does good. God doesn't have to try to figure out what He just said. He knows what He said. All right? And I have heard it almost spontaneous. Gift of tongues, bam, gift of interpretation right there. And there's no room for error. There's no room for confusion. It just happens. That's the way that God planned it. But when you have a long, drawn-out silence, somebody, you know, maybe getting up the nerve to do something, but then somebody else is going to stand up and they're going to say something that makes absolutely no sense. It's not tied in with the Spirit of God. And then it just brings confusion through it all. And we say, well, wonder when that's going to happen. It's not going to happen. All right. So we let everything be done decently and in order. Amen. Can you say praise the Lord? And so this is what it is all about. And we use these things. We're not just pro one, pro two, and we're not, you know, against one or against two. Amen. We want the whole enchilada. All right? We want the whole package. Amen. The entire package. Praise God. Amen. We believe in word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirit. We believe in faith and the gifts of healing and the working of miracles. We believe in tongues and interpretation and in prophecies. We believe in all of these things. And we're not going to allow these things to be misused. Will they at times? More than likely so. Amen. But that's why God gave us 1 Corinthians 14. But I am going to tell you what He did give us. And that was 1 Corinthians 13, right in the very middle of these two chapters, amen, where we have the gifts of the Spirit, is a chapter that so oftentimes we take a little penknife and we cut chapter number 13 out and we isolate it completely to itself. And I just want to tell you that 1 Corinthians 13 all by itself is an extremely powerful chapter. Amen. A very powerful chapter. How can we say that? One man came to Jesus and said, Lord, what is the greatest commandment? And he said that the greatest commandment, amen, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. And somebody asked, Lord, who is my neighbor? And so he began to give a parable concerning that. And he asked, now, who would you say is the neighbor? And he answered correctly. He lets us know. And he said, upon these two laws hang all of the prophets. Amen. Everything is hung right upon these two. Amen. We have often preached about the Ten Commandments. I just submit to you tonight, you get commandment number one right, the other nine will take care of themselves. That's just the way that it is. If you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you're not going to be committing adultery. You're not going to be lying. You're going to be honoring your father and your mother. Amen. You're going to be doing everything that is there if you love God like you're supposed to love God. And then he says, and the second is like unto it, you need to love your neighbor as yourself. Praise God. We don't have time to hate somebody. We don't have time to be against somebody. We don't have time to dog somebody, to step on somebody so that we can get to the top. We don't have time to make our own religion and form our own little cliques to put somebody out of God, out of the kingdom of God, and others included into the kingdom of God. Amen. There is no authority for that. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us to love your enemies. And in doing so, amen, you'll heap coals of fire upon them. Amen. Love those that despitefully use you is what he said. And in doing so, you'll heap coals of fire upon them. Amen. But he also teaches us to love our enemies. Amen. And so there is no time to hate. There is no time, amen, to dog somebody, to kick somebody to the curb. Amen. That's what the thief did. I said, that's what the thief did. And if that's all that they can do is cut somebody down, beat somebody up, and kick them to the curb so that they can just bleed out and die spiritually, then they're not of God. They're a thief. They've got the mentality of a thief and a robber. Praise God. Amen, amen. But Jesus said this is the way that we need to be. That those that come by and they beat on somebody and cut them down and kick them to the curb and say, just leave there and rot and die and I hope you die lost. Amen. That it is the 1 Corinthians 13 church, amen, that needs to come by and have time for them. Pick them up. Put them up on their own beast. Amen. Put the oil. Let the Holy Ghost do the work. Amen. And bring them to a place of regeneration, a place of healing, which is the house of God. Praise God. I could preach for a long time about that. Amen. But that's what the church needs to be. That's the way that the real church is going to be. The real church is not going to deny the oil to be poured into the wounds. The real church is not going to forbid the oil, amen, from an ointment of healing. The real church is not just, the Bible said that there were those that were religious that walked on the face. And when they saw him, they stepped to the other side and said, I don't have time for all of that business over there. Amen. But God's church, according to his scripture and according to the principles and the theme, amen, is that they're going to have a heart that everybody ought to be saved. Do you know who that is that just got beat up and is left half dead? No, I don't. But I do have some oil, and we're going to pour the oil into the wounds so that they can have the best chance of being saved and making it. Let's love him today. Praise God. And that's the way that this church is going to be. That's the way this church is going to be. Are people going to falter and are people going to fail? I'm just telling you, as long as we've got one person in this church, there is going to be faults and there's going to be failures. And when we focus on nothing but faults and failures, we're going to finalize our revival. But as long, amen, as we don't have to preach about all the faults, we're not giving place to sin. We're not going to allow, amen, sin to be in here. But we're not going to major, amen, upon the problems that are within the church and let the world go to hell. We're going to be the type that we've got the Holy Ghost, we've got the oil, amen. God has given the ministry of reconciliation unto us. We are going to be there to help them in their time of need. I don't care if it's backsliders, I don't care if it's sinners, amen, that are rank, amen. This church is going to have a place and a time and a heart, amen, to help people. Praise the Lord. And so 1 Corinthians 13 can stand alone all by itself. And it oftentimes it is used by itself. But today I spent some time reading. And I went back to chapter number 12. And I read the entire chapter. Because you know that when the Bible was first written, Paul didn't write in chapters and verses. He just wrote a letter. It was a long letter. But he wrote a letter. All right, and so that's what I did. I went back to the beginning of chapter number 12, and I began to read the letter. And I just skipped, amen, knowing that verse number chapter 13 was coming up. I just flew straight, not fast, but I just let it flow straight from chapter 12 into chapter number 13 and use that same mindset, amen, not trying to isolate anything, but using the same context and flowing from 12 into 13 and on into 14. And you know what? Everything makes perfect sense. Everything makes perfect sense. Amen. If we were to start there in chapter number 12 and verse number 31, Paul, he has already talked about the gifts of the Spirit. And he says it like this. He said, but covet earnestly, which that word simply means to desire. He's going to say, desire earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Praise God. I don't have a long time to finish this, and I may not finish this, but I just want to feel, amen, after God here today. And so he says, first of all, he said that we need to desire the best gifts. Desire the best gift. And so somebody says, well, what's the best gift? I think that the best gift is faith. Somebody else says, I think the best gift is miracles. Let me just tell you something. If somebody doesn't need a miracle, the best gift isn't miracles. They may be perfectly fine and they may need a word of knowledge. Faith isn't the best gift. A word of knowledge is the best gift. So according to the current situation, the situation at hand, what is the best gift now? Oh God, we need a word of prophecy right now. Or it may be, oh God, send us a word of wisdom. Send us a word of knowledge. Amen. It's the gift that fits the situation at the moment. Amen. I don't need the gift of tongues. Amen. If I need a miracle. If I need a miracle, I need the working of miracles. And so Paul says we need to have that understanding, that discernment, that whatever is necessary right now, I need that gift. And you know what? That ought to be the entire mindset of the whole church. I want you to know I am here to support you. I am here to help you. I am here to strengthen you. But you need to have the mentality that you are here to strengthen, you are here to support, and you are here to encourage. And so if the church gets locked up and gets bound up, we all need to make ourselves available unto God and begin to pray as we begin to seek the mind of God. God, what is the best gift right now? I am praying that whatever it is, that you would let it come forth right now. And all of a sudden, the sound from heaven begins to sweep through the place and the spirit of faith begins to move. And then all of a sudden, somebody responds now to faith. And all of a sudden, the whole church just blows apart. And faith is upon everybody, and faith is in operation. That was the best gift for the moment. But sometimes when everybody is shouting and dancing around and running the aisles and doing all this other stuff, and I'm like, I don't even know what to do. And I need a word of knowledge. And that is the best gift. And so I don't just sit here with my arms crossed and start pouting. Amen. I get involved in the spirit because service isn't over. And God still may come through with the best gift. All right? And so we need these things. And so Paul says that we should earnestly desire the best gifts. And the criterion of worth is use. The purpose determines the value. And those most serviceable to others are the most valuable and thus the greater of the best of the gifts. But this naturally leads us to the more excellent way, which Paul says in the last part of this verse. He said, now I show unto you a more excellent way. Now, Paul is not abolishing the gifts. He's not denying the gifts. He's not suppressing the gifts. He's just showed the environment in which they are to exist, and that the force in which they are to be guided by. And now he is introducing us unto the more excellent way of all of this. And that is the environment and the force of all of this has got to be in love. All right? Amen. Praise God. And this is where we come from 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 into verse number 13. Brethren, covet earnestly the best gifts, yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Now abideth, he gets in there talking about charity. All right? And so we're not on a different mindset. We're not on a different wavelength or anything. It's in the same vein. The same vein. He said, I'm going to show you, amen, the best way. I'm going to show you a more excellent way in all of this. Here are the gifts. This is the environment. This is how they're going to operate. And this needs to be the fuel of the operation. Here is the car. Here is the motor. And here is the fuel to make everything flow. And that fuel has got to be love. Amen. Love, 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 love. Praise the Lord. And this is what he's going to talk about. I don't have time to get on to all this. I'm going to skip through it. Amen. But Jesus teaches us in 1 John chapter number 2. John was writing there and he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. Amen. And so we've got to abstain from all of those things. Amen. To be able to operate. We're not loving the world. We're loving the church. Amen. This love has got to be a confined love. This love is not open unto everything. Amen. We're going to love the sinners that are in the world, but we're not going to love the sin of the world. We're going to love the people that are in the world, but we're not going to love the sin that the people involve themselves in. Bible said in Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 21, she shall bring forth a son and he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. God didn't come to make you feel good about yourself in your sin. God didn't come, amen, to pat you on the back and say, just do the best that you can do. He came to save you from your sin, to get you out of your sin. Praise God. I'm skipping a lot of this, trying to move through rather quickly here tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 and verse number 8. Amen. And I wished I had time just to read through this fluidly. Amen. So that we could keep the same context. But remember, we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit and how that they operate and that everything ought to be done in faith. And let me just flip over there right now because I just feel like I need to do that. All right. So, but I covet earnestly the best gifts and show unto you a more excellent way. Though I would speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not love or have not charity, I am becoming a sounding of brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, all right? We've taken this right into context here. That's what he's been talking about in chapter number 12. He's been talking about the gift of prophecy. And here he goes on and he said, now, if I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all mysteries, and then he says, and if I have a word of knowledge, if I have all knowledge, and if I have the gift of faith, if I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and if I don't have charity, if I don't have love, then I am nothing. Praise God. I don't care if you can speak in tongues like a Chinaman. I don't care if you can put forth prophecies, amen, and call them of God, ordained of God, and I don't even care if they come to pass. Paul said, if you don't have love operating in these things, then we are nothing.
I want to be very, very careful how that I tread into this. Amen. But there are so many people out there that they are prophesying and say, I'm just telling you right now, if you do thus and this, then you're going to have this. And if you do this, then you're going to go to hell. And if you do this, then your whole family is going to be lost in all this. Amen. And it's done in judgment. It's done in chaos. Amen. When the Bible says, amen, that these things ought to be operated in love. I don't find it so pleasurable, amen, so fun, amen, to judge and critique people and say, you know what, you're just a worthless little tramp and you're on your way to hell and you just need to do this and if you don't, you're going to bust hell wide open. Amen. We need to do it in love. In love. In love. Oh yeah, the greatest of all will face, amen, other than Jesus more than likely, the Apostle Paul, who wrote more in the New Testament than anybody, he said, I don't care if I understand all mysteries, if I don't do it in love, then I am nothing. He said, I don't care if I have the gift of faith so that I could... Go ahead, just hold that for me later. He said, I don't care if I have the gift of faith and I could do anything through the gift of faith. If I don't operate in love, it's nothing. I don't care if I have the word of knowledge for everybody that asks. If I don't have love, it is nothing. We need to make sure that we're sticking to the basics. We need to make sure that we're operating, amen, the way that God would have us to operate. I want to be careful for the people that come, amen, into the church. Amen. I didn't die for anybody, but Jesus Christ died for every one of them. And I want to make sure that somehow or another that I can have the same type of love. Amen. Will it be the same amount of love? Probably never be able to do that. But oh God, help me to see sinners like you see them. Help me to see the saint of God like you see them. I'm not interested in cutting everybody down. I want to do things unto edification and to build them up so that we can all go to heaven. He said, though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and if I don't have love, if I don't have charity, it profiteth me nothing. Amen. Praise God. And he said, and this is why, and this is how. He said, because charity suffereth long. Charity suffereth long. There are some people that have no long suffering. They have no patience. They have none. The Bible said, in your patience possess ye your souls. You have need of patience in that after you have done the will of God, that you might with patience wait for it to come. And he said, that's what love does. That's what love does. Love suffers long. Somebody says, well, I've suffered a long time. Just remember, Jesus suffered longer. Just remember, Jesus put up with our foolishness for a long time. Praise God. And so he says... charity suffereth long and is kind, not hatred, not mean-spirited. It's love. It's kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, is not proud, it's not prideful. He said, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity. There are some people that are so happy when somebody falls. Some people that are so happy when somebody messes up. I knew they'd never make it. That's not Bible. The Bible says, if your brother be overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. You're not even a Christian if you can't restore such a person. You're not even a Christian if all you can do is step on those as you try to climb your way to the top. He said, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Praise God. And he goes on. He said, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, not just some things, but all things, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies. Now I've got to my place in my notes. Amen. All right, so I can go back to my notes right here. All right, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies. What is prophecies? Well, he already told us what prophecies was in chapter number 12. He told us about the gift of prophecy. All right. And so he said, whether there be prophecies, he said, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, what tongues? The gift of tongues. He said, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, what knowledge? The word of knowledge. It shall vanish away. All right. So now this is what the religious world says. See, I told you so. Tongues are going to cease. And that's what's happened. Tongues has already ceased and tongues is of the devil. You are so taking that scripture out of context. You've got to totally rearrange everything to make that fit your belief. But let me tell you exactly what this is meaning and exactly what this is saying. Does it mean that it can cease? Absolutely. It does hold that connotation. But you know what else it means? Amen. And the deal is you got to take the spirit of the letter and not just the law of the letter. Because when you get into the Greek and you begin to translate this into English, it can mean cease, as in cease to exist, but it also can mean idle, to become idle. All right. So this does not mean that there's going to come a time that knowledge is going to be null and void and is never going to happen. And all of a sudden, everybody's just going to be walking around. Duh, I wonder what I should do. No, that's not what it means. That is taken out of context. He said, whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. It does not mean that there's going to be all these false prophets. Now, in the last days, there shall be false prophets. There shall be false Christ. But that's not what this is meaning. He said, whether there be the gift of tongues, whether they be tongues, they shall cease. It does not mean that there's going to come a time that tongues is going to cease. Go tell that to the charismatics. All right? It's not going to happen. And whether there be knowledge, so be a word of knowledge, it shall vanish away. That does not mean that the word of knowledge is going to cease. And it does not mean that all of a sudden everybody's going to be saying, well, we've reached the pinnacle and there is no more knowledge to be gained. That's not what it means. When you go back to chapter number 12 and you read fluently through this, you understand what it means. And here it is, that there will be times in one's life where they are going to need a word of prophecy. And the Bible says it shall fail. Or in other words, it's going to be idle. It's not going to happen. Or you're going to feel like, I just wish tongues and interpretation would happen. And it's going to be idle. It's not going to happen. Or you're going to be saying, if I just knew what to do, I need a word of knowledge. And it's not going to happen. It's going to be idle. Why? Because God needs us to have faith at all times. And if you think that every time that you need a prophecy, amen, you can call up 1-800, get a prophetic prophecy, amen, and that's all that you have to do, then you just kick trust and faith out the door. And so God says, there's going to be a time that it's going to happen. And there's going to be a time when it's going to be silent. It's not going to happen. And so here's the church to say, you know what? We just need a word of prophecy. And God's saying, how about you just walk by faith? All right, that's what we'll do. We'll just walk by faith. Oh, if only tongues and interpretation would happen right now. And God said, ain't going to happen. I'm just going to put that on cruise control and idle. It's not going to happen. All right? And you can understand this when you begin to read some of the other different translations. And we do stick to the King James Version, but the English Standard Version says it a little more plain. The Amplified Version says it a little bit more plain. And we begin to understand the context of it. Amen. But just simply because that we want these things to happen, all right? So he says, charity never faileth. Amen. But prophecy is going to fail at some time. Charity never faileth. But tongues are not going to be there at some times. Charity never fails. But knowledge isn't always going to be there. It's going to vanish away. And so we can say all these things because it's God's will for us the word of prophecy, amen, is not there. And it won't be there simply because it isn't God's will for us to know all things. Because that we are to walk by faith. And I want you to think about this. In prophecies, in prophecies. We can go back to the Old Testament and you can see prophecies. Everybody understand what I'm talking about? Prophecies. But prophecies were not complete until the New Testament. And the New Testament, we understood the fullness of the prophecy. And so there can be prophecies at this point in time, but it's never in fulfillment, all right? It's never with clear, everything is spelled out. Sometimes, this is the remaining part of chapter number 13. He said, we see through a glass darkly. We don't understand it all. Amen. We see we got just enough. We got just enough of a word of knowledge, just enough of a word of prophecy, just enough of these things that we know what we need to do. Amen. And we walk by faith. And then when we come through it, we understand it better by and by. Hindsight is 20/20. And we look back and we say, that's what all of that meant. And we understand the fulfillment or the fullness of the prophecy. Amen. Praise God. And so God gives us just enough to entice us on through. That. Amen. Sometimes we balk. Amen. And God sends a word of prophecy our way. Amen. That we say, you know what? With that, I can walk. Does that mean you understand everything? No. But you have just enough of the Spirit of God, the gift of the Spirit that has caused, spurned the unction of you to step out by faith and begin to walk through, amen, these times in your life. Amen. This is what he said. Verse number 9. For we know in part. We know in part, all right? Now, if you just take this as the love chapter, you're already saying, I don't understand. But when you take this as the context of chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, you begin to understand it all. He said, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Because prophecies typically are incomplete, thus keeping faith in balance. And he said, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. Or in other words, when it's all said and done, we're going to understand it then. When we all get to heaven on the other side, we'll look back and say, I understand it. We sing a song that says, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. We don't base our doctrine off of a song, but that song makes a whole lot of sense because you've been there. You've been there as you walk through your life. God didn't say, amen. Now, 1 + 1 = 2 + 1 = 3 + 1 = 4. Amen. God gave you the principle of addition. And when you got up there, you said, 24 + 24 = 48. But it isn't because I added increments of one. I understand the principle of it. God teaches us how to walk and how to walk through things. Amen. Through doctrine and even through prophecies and such. And it causes us to go through these things. Amen. Just as we see here. Amen. In I didn't even print it out. So let me go back to the Bible. What a safe place to be. All right, verse number 9. We know in part, verse number 10. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child or without understanding, I spake as a child, I understood as a child. In other words, I didn't understand it fully. I didn't understand everything fully and completely. He said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. All right, I gave myself to understand these things, some things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am also known. Now abideth, here we go. This isn't just something that Paul's pulling out here and just using a few words, but here he's talking about the same context. Amen. He's not interjecting something that he's not talking about. So 13, don't stand alone. 13 is right in between 12 and 14. All right, he's still talking about the gifts, the Spirit, the things that are there. And he said, now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three. But the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is charity. All right, he said, we can have the gift of faith. We can do all of these things. All right, but it is charity. Now, he goes to chapter number 14. I'm going to read it to you. And in the KJV, he said, follow after charity, and desire spiritual gifts. All right? He's still in that same vein. But rather that ye may prophesy. Now let me read it to you in the English Standard Version. Pursue love earnestly pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. And so he encouraged believers to follow after love. Love is not to be pursued to the neglect of everything else, but in the interest of all things. The constant need is that everything be done out of love. Out of love. And that's where we've got to be, church. That's where we have to be. We cannot take the gifts of the Spirit and put them on their own little pedestal and then take love and put it over here. Love is what causes the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. Love. And that's where we need to be. Amen. And love has a distinct purpose. Let's stand here tonight. Has a distinct purpose. Multi-purpose. But is all-inclusive. All-inclusive. We are to love our neighbor as ourself. We are to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We are to walk in love. We're to operate in love. And we must also understand that the gifts of the Spirit do not operate outside the boundary of love. We need to make sure. So, you know, somebody say, oh, I wish that the gift of healing would be more in our church. I wish that the working of miracles would be more in our church. I wish that the gift of prophecy would be more in our church. My question is, do we have enough love to make that operation? You say, I don't understand. I don't understand. Let me just say it to you like this. When somebody comes down to the front to be prayed for, whether it's for healing or for a miracle, they are stepping out in faith. We are laying hands and praying for them in obedience. But when you come to the front to be prayed for, there's something in my heart that is pulled and tugged at. Because I understand there is a need that is represented. Sometimes that need is represented in pain, represented in sickness, represented in disease, represented in problems, mind issues. And I pray in love. And then what does the body do? The body of the church responds in love. When somebody comes up here to be prayed for, you're not just coming up here in obedience to pray with them, to pray for them. But that's your brother. That's your sister. And you feel that. Oh, they're going up to be prayed for. And I know what the problem is. Or I want to go help them pray. I want to be there to just put more prayer in. Why? It's because of love. It's because of love. And that's the way it ought to be. We respond to each other because of love. So whether it's somebody needing a healing or somebody needing a miracle, and they come to the front, they're acting in a faith, we act in obedience. We learned last night in our Bible study, faith and obedience working hand in hand together. So when somebody comes to be prayed for, they're operating in faith. We're praying in obedience. But it's love that puts it all together. It's the love that we have for one another. It's the love that God has for us. The love that God doesn't want us to necessarily go on in that way. The love of God. The love of God. And so I want to be a Spirit-filled church. I want to be an effective church. Yesterday I had to go out to, feels like Egypt. To go out way out there to Egypt to go back over some inspections for the car and all that other stuff. And so I went out there to the highway patrol place. And lady came out. She took all of my information. She said, all right, hold on. I'll be right back. And so she goes inside, and I happen to look off to my right, and there's some people over there, and there's the inspector, the policeman, or whoever that's out there with him. They've got their hood popped, and he's got his flashlight, and he's looking for VIN numbers and all the other numbers and stuff. And the guy's standing out at his by the door of his car, and he's just, standing there and stuff. He looks pretty rough. And then there comes a lady. I don't even know where she come from. I know she was with him, but she came from around the side of the car or whatever, and she come around to the front and standing over there beside the officer and stuff. And I looked at her, and I thought, how tragic. Here was a lady that was, I'm afraid to even say how old she may have been. She may have only been in her 20s. She may have literally been in her 40s or 50s, I don't know. But you could tell she was rough. And she had tattoos on her body. More than likely, they're prison tattoos, or I just simply have to say the way that it really is, I mean, it was not an artist. Definitely not an artist. Somebody had drew all over her. They drew all over her face. And so they had put a mark, a line from one side of her mouth, tattooed her lip to the other side. It's not a straight line. It's just a rough line. That's it, just a rough line. And then they put lines across like stitches. Just like kid scribble. And there's other markings on her face. You think to yourself, a person can't think that that makes them beautiful. And in reality, they're so disgusted with themselves that they're trying to correct, perfect, better who they are. They're not happy with themselves. And so somebody's tattooing their face. Every day when they look in the mirror, they say that. They see that. And my heart went out to her. So I began to think, more than likely, the drug abuse and the drug use. And the woman was nothing really but a bag of bones. Skinny. And my heart went out to her and said, you know what? She just doesn't feel like anybody loves her. Doesn't feel like anybody cares. Doesn't feel like anybody. And so she's trying to better herself, trying to fit in somebody else's world. And nobody accepts her for who she is. And so she's changing and she's morphing and she's transforming into this, into that. I don't want to be like that. Can we be a church that would love them all? We're not loving the sin that they're invested in. But we are loving the sinner. And so when they come in here and they've got the look of the world upon them, and maybe they're known all over the city as the drug pusher, the drug addict, the messed up, the vile, let there be a church that overpowers with love. Well, let the gifts of the Spirit be in operation, but let the operation of love power through, and it will edify the church. Let's love Him here tonight. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.